that's right. Good afternoon. It's not Giveaway Friday today, but it's a very important discussion we need to have. Today we have Arnie Fisher. He is running for sheriff of Greenwood County, and we only have so many days left to the election. How many, Arnie?
I think we're at 12 now, aren't we? Or 11?
I think we're down to 11.
11?
Yeah,
there
yeah.
We go.
And it's fast going down to 10 here. But yes, I have Arnie Fisher here. He wants to be the next sheriff of Greenwood County. So, Arnie, I just got to ask you, how has this experience of running for sheriff been?
It's been a great experience. Sometimes exhausting, mm-hmm. but it's been a great experience. I mean, getting to know and meet a lot of the community. I mean, that's what it's all about when you're running for a public office.
And what have you heard from the people that you've talked to? What is the most important thing that you've heard from the people about the sheriff's office?
I think one of the most important things is transparency in the sheriff's office right now. A lot of people have lost trust in county and local law enforcement, which is sad. But
I think it's kind of across the board, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Unfortunately.
But we have to take steps to ensure the future of law enforcement in the United States right now, and take steps and measures to ensure that we're doing the right thing and we have the proper training.
And when you were, I'm just going to take it back because I don't know a lot about you, Arnie Fisher. So you're from Greenwood.
I am. I grew up in Greenwood. My parents were educators here. My father was a director of adult education at School District 50, and my mother was a high school teacher at 96 High School.
And you said before that she was the first band leader at...
She was the first female band director in the state of South Carolina.
That's an accomplishment.
It was. She was a band director at 21 years of age, so...
That's pretty cool. What's her favorite instrument?
She likes the saxophone and piano. She still taught piano lessons until last year, until she retired, and she's, I'm not going to say her age. I might get in trouble for that, Ann.
Can she play the saxophone still?
Yeah, she played the alpha sax. She loved the saxophone.
I'm impressed with that woman, and I need to meet her. That's right. I love somebody that can play the saxophone. That's pretty cool. Well, and you said she taught at 96?
She taught at 96 High School, and then she taught at vocational school at across from Greenwood High for a few years before she retired.
Before she retired. You know, it's pretty cool because the 96 band is going to compete, I think, this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, she taught English when she was at 96. She
taught.
She was a band director at Brewer High School back in a long time ago.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Back when it was Brewer High School.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, as you grew up, what made you decide? You told me you wanted to be, you always knew you wanted to be a police officer.
I did. I should say since the third grade. Back then, it was a lot of community policing, and the local police had a dog named Hero. And they came and did a demonstration. I was at Oakland Elementary School at the time. That was Rice, but really showing my age now.
Yeah, well,
schools are changing names and everything. Yeah. So they did the demonstration, and I saw it, and I had a friend back then named Mark Green. And I looked at Mark, and I said, that's what I'm going to do when I grow up. And Mark said, I'm going to be a fireman. And he wasn't a fireman. He ended up being a stockbroker, I believe.
But that's a far cry from a fireman. Yeah.
But I meant it. When I saw that, I knew I wanted to be a K-9 police officer. It was something about it. I knew it was, I don't know. So I guess sometimes you know you have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what, you went in the Navy.
I did. It was the quickest way I would become a police officer back then was to go into the Navy at 18.
And why the Navy?
Well, I was working at Food Lion and had a grocery manager. And
when it was Food Lion behind the mall.
Exactly, on 25.
That's
and,
right.
And really, you are making me show my age.
Well, huh? You know, sometimes you got to do it.
And I was there and I had a grocery manager who had just gone into the Air Force and came out for 4 years. So I said, I want to be an MP in the Air Force. And he's like, no, you want to be in the Navy. And I asked him why. He said, because you'll always be on the beach. And I thought about it and I was like, that'd be great. Yeah, I do want to be on a beach if I'm serving my country. Why not be on a beach serving your country, right?
Yeah, life is a beach, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I joined the Navy, and my goal was to be a police officer before I was 21. And I completed my first police academy at 20. The next month I was turning 21. I did it a month before I was 21. So I kind of set a goal, and I was able to achieve it, and I was happy about it.
Okay, so were you ever on a carrier or?
I was on the USS George Washington. When I first went into the Navy, I was on Assault Craft Unit 2, which was an amphibious assault unit. We used to make beach landings, take Marines from the ship onto the beach, mm-hmm. And you go out there with the Beachmasters, and you take, you know, you're just pretty much escorting Marines to do amphibious assaults. And then after that, I went to the USS George Washington after MP school. And then after that, I went to Japan for 7 years.
God, that sounds like a really tough life.
I know. All that traveling, it was a tough life. But it was great until the Iraqi war came around, and I had to do two tours in Iraq. So that's when the party kind of stopped a little bit for me. Yeah. Yeah.
So how was it in Iraq?
It was it was one of those things that you look back on it and you think to yourself sometimes you're just blessed you came out of there. You know, I have friends that didn't come back. So you just think back and you think, I'm blessed. And then it makes you look yourself in the mirror every day and say, I'm here for a purpose. What is the purpose? I better do something, you know, because I was blessed to come back. So.
Well, when you look at that now, somewhere in there you started working with canines, with dogs.
I did. I started working with canines after I left Japan the first time and went to Bahrain. I kind of made a deal.
Geez, a poor
I
man.
Know. So I left Japan and with a deal. I had a detailer.
A deal?
Yes,
yeah.
I made a deal. I told him, I said, well, I want to go to canine school. And I was about 28 at this point. And he said, I'll make you a deal. I'll send you to canine school, but you got to go to Bahrain and live in Bahrain, which is next to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So I said, I'll take that deal. But when I got out of canine school and went to Bahrain, 9/11 happened. And I was in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So it was...
It should have been a really tense place to be.
It was. It was very tense. I probably lost 15 pounds that year because then we were walking the outskirts of the base, you know, looking for explosives. We didn't know what was going on. So it was a very tense year for me. Mm-hmm. So I really paid for that school, you know, to get that school. But it worked out, you know. I loved what I did in the Navy. So after that, I went back to Japan for another 3 years. So.
I see. Well, that's sounds like you had pretty good duty.
I did. I can't complain. I love being in Navy, and they kind of made me leave, I guess. You know, I got my 20 years came up, and they said, hey, you have to leave. So, but it was a good life.
What do you think as you, this is really off the subject of being a sheriff, but what do you think about the state of our military right now, having been in the military, seen what the military is?
Well, we've been downsizing a lot in the military. I don't think that's the best thing right now, to be honest with you. When you downsize like that, people do a lot more tours of duty in dangerous areas, and they don't have enough time with their families, I think. So we need to not decrease the number of troops we have. We need to increase it, I think. So.
Well, I think one of the things is they depend on the National Guard so much more, and the National Guard picks up the slack.
Which is unfair because then you're using the National Guard for something you really shouldn't be using the National Guard for.
Exactly.
So.
And that's been one of the complaints of it that here in South Carolina, as
correct.
Far as how much time they spend overseas and doing tours, and it's put a lot of stress on the system.
When they should really be here worrying about disasters and things like that, where it can help here in
exactly.
the United States.
Exactly. So you got out of the military 4 years ago?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. So... And when you got out of the military, I guess you got out in San Diego, is that right?
I did. In 2012, I was my last duty station. My last 8 years was in San Diego.
Jeez, and, another terrible duty.
I know. Well, people are probably thinking, he was in the military, but he sure has some
cushy
great places.
Deals. Yeah,
It sounds that way, but it was a lot of responsibility when you're in the military. You're in charge of a lot of people, a lot of equipment. So it's
dogs?
Might,
come on now, Art.
Well,
dogs?
Dogs, facilities, supplies,
yes.
Vehicles.
Yeah.
Dogs just don't go to Iraq, you know, go on planes and everything. You have to have all the equipment, and it's a lot of logistics, a lot of supplies, it's a lot of budgeting, a lot of planning. As a canine handler, a military canine handler, you handle VIP trips with, like, the president, Secretary of Defense. So when they come on... When I was in San Diego, for instance, Vice President Dick Cheney came for just a 48-hour stint. Then you're not getting any sleep. You know, you're in a hotel room. Well, not in his hotel room, but you're close to his hotel room, and you're not getting much sleep, and you're on duty pretty much, making sure that he's safe and that there's no explosives or anything around. And so, I mean, it's a lot of responsibility, and it's a lot that goes into it. I don't think a lot of people realize how much goes into it.
You know, when you talk about training dogs and everything, how many dogs did you actually work with, or did you have one dog that was your dog? Because we see in the military how somebody has a dog that they travel and live with and breathe with.
Well, it just depends on the mission and how it and what kennel you go to. So most of the times you go to a kennel and you have one dog. But if a situation happens, say you go to a kennel and there's a narcotics dog available, and then you have a mission where you need an explosive dog, you might have to switch over to a dog, or another dog, or something like that. It just depends on the mission and time frame when people are coming into the duty station and leaving the duty station. So it can vary. But in my military career, I've probably trained where maybe 6 to 8 dogs. Mm-hmm. But as far as training and everything, when you're on a training team, you're training a multitude of dogs at one time that don't have handlers. So you can... The number goes up when you're doing that, when you're a trainer.
I was thinking about putting Gracie in the military. What do you think?
I think Gracie likes being in here a little bit too much to go to the military.
Probably.
She's over there right. Sleeping right now.
Yeah, she is. Let sleeping dogs lie, folks. Well, Arnie, you know, so you came back 4 years ago, and you went into the sheriff's office. Is that right?
I worked at the sheriff's office for a year when I came back.
You said you got hired within, what, 3 weeks?
I was retired for 3 whole weeks when I came back. I'm not very good at sitting at home and doing nothing. So if I would have saw one more Everest College commercial, I probably would have gone crazy. Mm-hmm. Sitting on the couch, you know, during the day looking at TV. So I applied at the sheriff's office, and I worked there for a year.
Okay. And why did you end up leaving the sheriff's office?
I didn't like some of the things I was seeing there, to be honest with you. I don't want to go into what I saw, but I saw some things that I didn't like. So I left and went to Lander for a year.
Okay. So that was what year were you at the sheriff's office?
2012 to 2013.
2013. And what exactly did you do at the sheriff's office?
I was in uniform patrol. So every day, well, not every day, the days that I worked, I would patrol here in Greenwood County.
You know, you say you saw things you didn't like. Surely you can give us some idea what you didn't like.
Well, I'll go with training. That was one of the things I saw that, or lack thereof, that I did not approve of and thought it could...
Meaning?
Well, I think it should have been a lot more training. For instance, we're doing active shooting training right now at Greenwood County Sheriff's once a year. In 1988, Oakland Elementary School had an active shooter. We were one of the first schools in the nation. Why are we doing active shooter training once a year? Does that make sense to you, Ann?
I don't know.
That's not safe. That's not safe at all to be doing active shooter training once a year. You could do it. Say we did active shooter training in January, and we have a situation in December, and you have a deputy going to the door at school, and you have an active shooter, and he had training 11 months ago. What is he going to remember from that training? When he's going and his heart is pounding and his adrenaline is going, is he going to remember in his training that he had 11 months ago? Probably not.
Probably not.
So, I mean, you have to put it in real-life perspective of what's going on and protecting the deputies and making sure they're getting the training they need.
Now, just out of curiosity, are there not mandates for law enforcement, and do not you have to be certified and this type of thing?
Well, you have to be certified, but you have to also... The problem that I have right now with law enforcement that I think that is coming to bite us is it's harder to be a cosmetologist right now than to go to a police academy. You have to have more training to be in cosmetology than to go on the streets right now with a weapon. That is just...
That's really?
Yes.
Yeah, don't you have to go to...
You have to go to a police academy. But 12 weeks. How long do you go to a cosmetologist that go to a school? We have to, when deputies and officers come out of police academy, we have to give them specialized training and make sure that they know what to do, ensuring that the training is quarterly or either semi-annually, and making sure that, you know, we shouldn't look at the minimum requirements and say, hey, let's shoot for the minimum requirements. That's not what minimum requirements are there for. You need to exceed minimum requirements. You know, you should always be exceeding those. You should, you know. So.
And okay, I mean, I can see that, but how do you do that when, if I'm understanding correctly, the sheriff's department actually runs shorthanded? We don't have a lot of people on the streets, I mean, at the sheriff's office now, as far as in the county. We have a large county.
Okay.
Are we able to cover the whole county?
Well, we are able to cover the whole county, but what you need to do is, instead of having so many deputies in one area, you can put more deputies in uniform patrol to ensure that we're getting the coverage we need, and then ensure that we have enough deputies in those sections so that we can take some out and do training periodically as well.
Right.
There's a simple way to do that.
Okay. Because one of the things that I understood is that it's kind of hard to cover the whole county, and it's a big county.
I think it's 256 square miles or something like that.
Yeah. And at any one time with three shifts, or are they working two shifts a day?
They're working two shifts a day.
Two shifts.
So it can be done.
Right.
It can be done if you sit down and take the time and care enough. It can be done. Mm-hmm. These things can be worked out and thought through. We just have to be proactive, man. We got to stop being reactive. We got to be way more proactive in order to make things work.
Right. Business certainly has to be, so I understand that. So so the training aspect was one. There's been a lot of issues, though, at the sheriff's office. Another issue has been money disappearing and money being spent on things. And two deputies have kind of got themselves in some trouble about missing evidence and money and this type of thing. So what do you think the answers are with the sheriff's department as far as some of those issues?
Well, the answer as far as money, I've already talked with county HR, and I'm not an accountant, you know.
Aren't you going to school for that, though?
Well, I'm going to school for business, and I'm in a couple of accounting classes, but I'm not an accountant, trust me.
Right.
And nor do I want to be. Those are things that can be handled through county HR.
HR is human resources.
Exactly, but they still handle the budget. The budget goes through them. It goes through the county. So if you go
are you saying that they would write the checks and keep up with the money?
What I'm saying is once we make the budget and we work hand in hand with them, they ensure that if I have a question and say, hey, can I use money for this? What can I do with this money? I go to them over there and say, hey, is this legal? Can we do this? Is this the right thing to do? Asking questions is a simple way to ensure that we're doing the right thing. This will not be my money. This is taxpayers' money.
Exactly.
And I have to ensure that their money is being utilized in the right way. The simple answer is being responsible.
Sure.
It's just being responsible. That's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the other part of that question you said? The money and, the situation with
we had some missing evidence. I mean, that's probably a small thing, but, it's missing evidence.
Well, I don't know exactly happened as far as the missing evidence or the money. It's still an investigation, and I don't want to speak, being someone who's running for sheriff, I have to believe in the judicial system and let that system go through before I even comment on what exactly happened, which I don't know. But if that did happen, that's a procedural problem. So if we're following procedure, then we have an issue. That's an issue with upper management and maybe not ensuring procedure is being done. I mean, that's the simplest answer I can give you on that.
Well, sometimes do undercover, from what I understood from just reading what I read, sometimes undercover people have a little bit different way of handling things is the way it seemed like it came across.
Well, it shouldn't be that way. A procedure is there to be a procedure. And it doesn't matter what your role is at the sheriff's office. Either you're going to have procedures that people want to follow or you're not. It shouldn't matter what your role is.
Now, just out of curiosity, if you became sheriff, how do you go about, we have a lot of guys working down there right now.
Yes.
Yes. What's going to happen?
What do you mean what's going
to happen? We're going to have a new sheriff. Or are you planning to work with the people that are already there?
Oh, okay. Well, you're talking about as far as, am I going to go in there and just clean house? No, I'm not going to go in there and clean house.
Okay.
We're going to see what we have. And we're going to see the direction where we're going. We're going to look at numbers and see what the direction where we're going.
Numbers
and
if we have meaning what?
Numbers meaning arrest, meaning time to get the calls, meaning how we need to move people in order to. I'm going to look at the numbers of time to respond to calls. I'm going to look at numbers, the DEU narcotics numbers. I'm going to look at all the numbers and see how we can tweak everything and make sure it's working.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to make sure that people are in the right places and to do things. Now, would there be some people who may not be there after I look at some of the things that are in there? I don't know. It just depends. It depends on if they want to work with the system, the way the system is going to be ran and procedure followed. And if they don't have a problem with that, they won't have a problem with being there.
Okay.
But we're going to be on the up and up.
Well, that's good. Now, what about working with the city? I know Tony Davis, Sheriff Tony Davis, and Gerald Brooks have had a good working relationship, and that certainly has strengthened the inside the city versus outside the city, the county versus the city. Have you had any opportunity to talk to Gerald Brooks?
I haven't had a chance to, just in passing. We speak to one another and everything. He seems like a really great police chief. We're going to have a... The way I see law enforcement, and we're all brothers and sisters. We should be able to work together. I don't think that will be a problem at all with me. I'm willing to work with anything, because at the end of the day, it's about the people. It's not about my ego. It's not about some position or anything like that. It's about working together, ensuring that we're like covering the taxpayers and making sure that they're getting the bang for their buck. That's what it's about. And it's not about egos.
Well, and I think the other thing that they have been able to do between the sheriff, and they've been able to share some resources.
Exactly.
Which has been good for the community.
It's been great for the community. And
right.
And sharing the resources and sharing the information and the intel. You got to have that between a police department and the sheriff's
office.
Well,
there have been times in the past it hasn't been like that. So.
Well, but that's not beneficial to the people.
Exactly.
When it's not like that.
Right.
So that's something you should strive to. You should always strive. And even the counties around us, Abbeville, Anderson, Lawrence, we need to make sure we have good relationships with everybody, because sometimes someone might commit a crime and go into another county and we might need their help for something. So we need to have good working relationships with everybody in our surrounding areas.
Absolutely. Well, we are coming up on South Carolina Radio News. When we come back, I've got more questions for Arnie. I hope you're going to stay right here with us. Arnie Fisher is running for Sheriff of Greenwood County. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984, 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here on WCRS this afternoon, having a very interesting conversation right here with Arnie Fisher. He is a candidate for sheriff. He is the Democratic candidate for sheriff. Do you really think a sheriff is a party job? Republican, Democratic?
I think sheriff and coroner, really, I think should probably be nonpartisan. I mean, it affects your job in no way, political views. I mean, you go out and do a job. The duties of the sheriff is to follow the U.S. Constitution and the statutes in the state constitution. And it's a duty. It's pretty, you don't make any type of legislation or anything that will affect Democrats or Republicans either way. You're for everyone in the community, protection and managing the county police force. And it has not really, I'm not going to say you shouldn't, it shouldn't be, but to me, I don't think that's a, it should be ability and experience.
Okay.
Should be more focused.
Well,
on.
Talking about an ability and experience, as far as police work, you were with the sheriff's office for a year. Now, what did you do at Lander? Because you went to Lander after you were at the sheriff's office.
I was in uniform patrol at Lander as well.
Well, that should have been good duty.
You know what? at Lander, it was good duty. It was great duty because it was the first.
There's lots of co-eds there, yes.
Well, no, that's not why.
Why?
It was because when you would go to work, people would say, "Hey, Officer Fisher," and they would be happy to see him every day. I had never been in any kind of law enforcement where the students were so happy to see you every day. It was almost surreal. You're like, wow, okay, this is, it was different law enforcement.
Good duty, huh?
Yeah.
All right, now you had to leave Lander when you decided to run for office, correct?
Yes, because you can't have a state position and run for an elected position here.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the questions that is all across our country is the state of race relations.
Mm-hmm.
How are race relations in Greenwood County, you think, Arnie?
Well, as far as with county law enforcement, I don't think we have a big problem with race relations or things that are going on throughout the United States. When you, I think the major problems are in big cities. Here in Greenwood, everybody's pretty much friendly. Everybody speaks to each other. Greenwood County is a great county to raise. I'm raising my children here in Greenwood County. It's a great place to be.
It is a great place to be. And so why are they, but don't you think that you can have issues come up because they're so in the media?
You can. You can have, yeah. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We live in a social media age, and you see everything on TV, and right now law enforcement isn't in a good light. It wasn't like when I grew up and you saw police officers and you were like, oh my God, it's a police officer. It was a big deal to see a police officer.
Aura, right?
It was an aura around it. It was like a
halo.
You know, when I grew
one
up.
One of the good guys.
Exactly. That's why
like
I wanted
Superman.
To be a police officer. Exactly.
Yes.
We looked at police officers as superheroes when I was growing up.
Right.
And I really want to get back to that. But it was a lot of community policing when we were younger in the 80s because, you know, you had. It was the Ronald Reagan era, you had the war on drugs, and you had all the things happening in Miami where you had all these shootings, and you saw police, you know, going and trying to quell these situations in the 80s, things we really don't need to do now, but those I mean, that's how you saw policemen in that type of light, and police men and women. So I really want to get back to that. I think we can get back to that.
What do you think is the major root of most of the crime issues that we deal with, whether it's Greenwood County, because that's what we're talking about.
Well, a lot of it is due to drug use when we have crime. When we have break-ins and, like, car break-ins and things like that, it's people are doing it for drug use and jobs. If we can get the crime rate down, more people will want to come in here and invest in Greenwood and bring back more jobs. We just have to get the crime rate down. We have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do a lot of community policing, help people get off of substances and things like that.
Do you think drugs should be something that someone should go to jail for? Drug.
I believe anything that is against the law, you should go to jail for it.
Okay.
That's my belief. I mean, if it's against the law, you should go to jail for it. I mean,
how do you feel about drug court?
Drug court? What do you mean by drug court? Like,
we have a drug court here.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Addy
okay.
presides over drug court, and those that have been convicted of
drug violations
can go through drug court, and if they successfully complete it, then they don't have to serve a sentence.
Well, I like that because you're trying to correct a problem. A person has an issue. You're trying to correct that issue, and you're not filling up the detention center. Because every time you put a person in a detention center, it's something you could fix. You're adding taxpayer dollars. We're paying for that, you know, for someone to sit there. And going to something where a drug court where you can go through a program and actually correct the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for anything that's going to correct the behavior. That's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. It's something probably, truthfully, that needs to be expanded, but
exactly.
It always comes down to dollars and everything. So as we're moving forward here on this, what type of transition, and one of the questions that came in on Facebook would be, who will be your chief deputy?
I have not decided who my chief deputy is going to be. I haven't even decided if I'm going to have a chief deputy. I'm playing with the notion of maybe having a chief deputy. I have three majors. I have not decided who those majors will be. There are a lot of the rumor mill is going to buzz.
It's wide open.
It is wide open. Who people are going up to people saying, hey, such and such is going to be the chief deputy. I have not made any kind of decisions. I haven't spoke with anyone about these things. So no one has to worry about who my chief deputy is going to be. Anything. We're going to get in. We're going to see how everything's aligned. And then
where
we're
are you
going to
spend your time from if you should be elected,
mm-hmm.
how do you plan to spend your time from November to January, shall we say?
First, the budget. 3 weeks after I get in, January the 2nd, the budget has to be, the first draft of the budget has to go through the county.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be, I'm going to be working with the county and making sure, ensuring the budget. The one thing I want to increase in the budget is the training. So we're going to have to play with some numbers, see if we can increase the training, you know, see how we can do it. So that's going to be the whole, that's going to be the fun part. It's going to be the looking at numbers and making sure we can, you know, move things around and doing what we need to do so the day when we get in there, we already have a vision, we have a plan. We have to be as Once the election is over, we have to be as proactive as we can be and foresee what the problems and issues we're going to have once we get in office.
So you don't see you're going to be working on budget. You're not actually going to be working trying to find out how things actually all work? Or do you feel you already know because you worked there for a year?
Well, I worked there, and I know procedure, but I am going to reach out to the incumbent and see if he's open to, you know, seeing how we could maybe come up with a solution to where we can see where we can go and see if we can get the day-to-day things and have a proper turnover and a pass down of equipment, making sure, you know, vehicles, everything, making sure that, you know, everything's accounted for. So I'm going to work through the county with that, and we'll see where we're at when we get out of this election. And this election seems to be dragging on and on.
Yeah, man. It seems like we've been in the election process for a good long time. Now, just how many people work at the sheriff's office?
Somewhere
around 120
something. I think it's 80 something on the
patrol
side, and then you have the detention side. So it's over 100 people.
So what kind of experience do you have to work with 100 to supervise? I guess would be the word 120 people.
Well, I mean, I've supervised since I was 24 years old when I first started supervising in the Navy.
How big a group did you supervise?
Well, when I was in Iraq, the biggest group I've supervised in Iraq was I had a team of over 20 handlers on three separate bases, and then I also started a Iraqi K-9 program at the same time. So I was supervising the Iraqi program as well, starting that from the ground up. So I've been in charge of people well over 50 people at a time.
But in Iraq, was it CYA?
CYA. I'm not going to. You almost got me.
Was it CYA? I mean, let's get out of here, guys. Alive. Yeah, okay.
But it's fun motivating people and leading people. And that's one of the things I love about being in the military. It's not about telling people what to do. And you got to be a motivating leader. When you're, you know, in command of people, you have to do that. You have to have that quality.
To motivate.
You do.
And what else do you need to do to be a good leader, do you think?
Well, you have to have great communication skills. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to communicate what you want. A lot of times, breakdown just because of communication. People don't understand what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. If you don't communicate what you want from someone, it's impossible for them to fulfill that duty that you want them to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. So you feel you're ready to take on this job?
I would have never started this entire year, this whole process, if I didn't think I was entirely ready to be sheriff of Greenwood County.
What type of training, as far as law enforcement, have you had since you've been out of the Navy?
Since I've been out of the Navy, I went to the academy here in South Carolina. That was my fourth academy since I've been out. And then I worked at the sheriff's office here in Lander. So,
and do you have to get certified
every
year?
3 years.
Every what?
3 years.
Every 3 years.
Yeah, recertification.
Okay. So, you have? Have you been recertified, or you need to?
No, I don't. I haven't been recertified, and I don't need to be right now. No.
Okay. And so, should you become sheriff, will you have to get recertified,
What
happens? What is the law?
If I was becoming a police chief, I would need to get recertified, but not a sheriff.
As a sheriff.
It's a political position. As we discussed earlier.
Yes, it is a political position.
Let's see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear a quick word. Let's take a 2-minute break, Andy. We'll be right back. We're coming up on the top of the hour. If anybody has any other questions that I haven't covered here in my intense grilling of Arnie Fisher right here on WCRS, you pick up that phone and give us a call. 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
That's right. We're right back here on a busy Friday afternoon. Just of note, there is not an Emerald football game tonight. They will be playing next Friday, so we will have that. Of course, Clemson does play tomorrow, so make sure you tune in right here on WCRS. And I will be here in the morning from 9 to 12 with our Classic Country show. But as we finish up talking with Arnie Fisher, he wants to be the next sheriff of Greenwood. Believe it or not, I have a few more questions.
Okay, well, I figured you might have one or two more,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Now, one of the questions that I have for you, Arnie, what do you think about the diversity in the sheriff's department?
From what I'm seeing, it looks more diverse. I don't know exactly what the personnel is right now, because what the numbers are, because I've made it a point not to contact, you know, people who I could affect their jobs. So you don't want to, because it is a political position and it could change in 4 years, you don't want to put someone in a situation where, you know, they're having to choose between their job and, you know, giving you any kind of information or anything or asking them questions. So I try not to do that. But if it's an issue, it's something I will correct. I mean, when officers are diverse, we've seen even in LA, statistically the numbers show that situations go down, crime tends to go down. It makes it easier to go in certain communities. So I mean, it's something we'll look at, and if there is an issue, I'm going to correct it, and I'm going to correct it in a hurry.
Okay. And, you know, the other issue, of course, we were just talking about the budget for the sheriff's office is a little over $8 million. That's a huge budget.
It is the largest budget in Greenwood County.
That's right. It's almost half the budget for the Greenwood County. But another part of the budget, another part of the issue is, of course, the detention center.
Exactly.
And there's been a couple of issues at the detention center. One, we had someone that just happened to walk out. I think that was pretty cool. And then we had another issue where we had an inmate die right in office, in the detention. How do we prevent these type of things from happening? How do you know whether an inmate or someone that's being put into the detention center, what they have ingested, what they've eaten, what they've done, what they tell you, what they don't tell you? How do you prevent something like what happened with the death in the detention center?
I think procedure, following procedure. Without going into detail, because it could be litigation with the death.
I know it is. Yes.
And it could be litigation coming out with the death. But following procedure is probably the simplest way to.
What type of procedure? I mean,
when an inmate status changes, that is a red flag to call EMS or to have that person seen by medical staff. And I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if the individual was seen by medical staff or whatever, but that is a procedural thing, and we just have to ensure that we're training in a way. But and I will always go back to this: training is so important right now in law enforcement. It's just the most important thing, and we have to make sure that we're investing in correction officers, ensuring that they know the proper procedure, ensuring that they get into training that they need in order to recognize things. The most crucial time is when you're checking an inmate in and when you're releasing an inmate. Mm-hmm. That is the most crucial time to make sure paperwork is in order, make sure the medical situation is in order. That's the time we have to be the most diligent. We have to ensure that we're doing the right thing at those times. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's going to be addressed immediately when I'm elected in the office. I'm going to totally go through the whole policy. And we're going to make sure everything's updated, and we're going to make sure that we're following it, and we're going to make sure that everybody understands the policy.
Now, what about the condition of the detention center?
I'm hearing when I was hearing about the Yes for Greenwood initiative, mm-hmm. that the floor was chipping up, and I guess in one some of the cells and things like that, and you don't want that because then inmates can use the floor as weapons and shanks and things like that. We're gonna go in. I'm gonna and do a intense inspection of the detention center once I'm elected and ensure that it's safe, and ensure that we're doing the steps we need to do in order to ensure that it is safe, and ensure that our correction officers are safe. We want to ensure the inmates are safe, but we don't want one of our correction officers getting hurt or something like that by a weapon that could have been prevented.
Sure.
You know, we have to ensure their safety, and that's well, I'm dedicated to ensuring the correction officers' safety and the deputy's safety. That's something that has to be done.
Do you think that detention center is adequate? Of course, we'd always like a new one, but do you think it's adequate?
Adequate. I think it's adequate for right now, what we're doing with it right now. I mean, I don't know exactly how many inmates we have right now and how much space we have. Mm-hmm. So that's something I would actually have to see the numbers on to say if it's adequate or not. Mm-hmm. That would be a number thing. Now, if you're talking about conditions of the detention center, the conditions of the buildings and structures, that's something we'll have to have someone go in and look at and make sure it's adequate in that way. But I think it's adequate enough right now because, you know, we're not having issues to where, like, we're having problems with, like, clean water or you know, our food or anything like that. I mean, I think it's sanitary, and I think it's adequate in that way. But we gotta look at numbers as far as, like, capacity. I think we need to look at that.
Well, that has in the past been a problem. I don't think it is now, but mm-hmm. overpopulation at one point was a problem. And I guess my last question, probably, because when we're going to give you a little time to talk here to the folks, is what about working with the solicitor and working cases and getting them through the court system? Sometimes it seems like the solicitor isn't doing you guys go out and bust your tail to get these guys arrested and get them get the case prepared, and then sometimes they just walk the case or they take too long on it.
Well, the thing is... we're going to have a great working relationship. I have talked to David, and he is a great guy. We had a great conversation. We're going to work hand in hand. I asked him what was some of the issues he saw, how we could better do reports to ensure that when we do give him the evidence and give mm-hmm. him a case, that he can try the case. We have to make sure we can't put it on one person. We got to make sure that, you know, when we're busting our hump, we're doing it the right way. I compare police work to football. I use a football analogy with this.
Everybody's going to understand what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. We're in the Bible Belt. Everybody will understand this analogy. So I compare being the sheriff to a coach. You have to motivate. You have to make sure. You can't put it all on one person. You're a team. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to prepare a case, give it to the solicitor. And it needs to be a case that you don't have any flags on the play. You didn't obtain evidence the wrong way. You didn't write the report in a way that's not responsible. We have to fuel the solicitor with everything, all the power he can have, so he can try that case with confidence. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to work hand in hand with the solicitor's office and ensure that they have the evidence and the information they need to try the case.
All right. Well, you are listening to WCRS this afternoon. My very special guest has been Arnie Fisher. He is candidate for the sheriff of Greenwood County. And now, Arnie, I want to give you the opportunity, a couple of minutes, to tell people why they should vote for you.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. And I just want to say to people here in Greenwood County, I feel that my experience, my 22 years in law enforcement, my four academies, I have the corrections experience. I'm the only candidate that has a corrections experience that is left in this race. And that is something that we see what's happening in the detention center. And I think the people here in Greenwood County want a sheriff that has, you know, corrections experience. And then I have experience with domestic violence. Right now we're number 5 in the nation. We used to lead the nation in domestic violence.
The state is number 5.
Yes, the state is number 5 in the nation, and we used to lead the nation. Mm-hmm. And I think the people here in Greenwood County want a sheriff that has that experience in domestic violence, able to work with Meg's House and things like that, entities
How
like that.
How do you have that experience? I'm sorry, I have to interrupt.
Yes, I have the experience because I worked at a sheriff's office, and I had to work domestics, and I had to work with Meg's House on occasion. So I think the people here in Greenwood County want a sheriff that, that has that experience.
Well, I think that's something, actually, that the governor has demanded that that be there, and it's through her advising that this be come forward.
Yes. So, I mean, it's one of those things so we can get these domestic violence numbers down and educate people when they're even coming out so that, you know, they don't repeat that. And then budgeting experience. I've worked a budget before. I have that experience. And I'm the only candidate that has the budgeting experience. And then I've worked at the sheriff's office before. I know the policy there. I know what it takes to work there. And I'm the only candidate that's left that can say that. So I think I have the knowledge, the experience. I've just, law enforcement has been a part of my life since I was 20. And this is a goal I set for myself. And I think I'm the best qualified person for the job.
All right. That is Arnie Fisher. And so, do you want to ask people to vote for you?
I do. Thank you, Ann, for reminding me. I totally forgot that part, right?
That's right.
I think I need to say that part.
Right, exactly.
Well, this November 8th, please vote for Arnie Fisher, Sheriff of Greenwood County. And if you have any questions or you want any information on me, please go to arniefisher.com, and everything is there.
All right, that sounds good. This has been another WCRS. Time for the politics to end for today. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Arnie, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.